Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we got White Sox and Twins again tonight. One more time, the lead is 9.5 games. You'll hear Connor McKnight in his pregame show, 6:30 with Len and DJ. Then their first pitch at 7:10. You got Dylan Cease back on the mound.
Usually better at home than on the road, so we got that going for us.
Michael Pineda is on the hill for Minnesota. He could be traded, right? Don't a lot of people believe he'll be traded?
Isn't Pineda the guy? TA is roughing up everybody these days, but doesn't TA have a fantastic resume against him?
This could be another day to maybe gamble on a home run from Tim Anderson.
Yeah, you may want to put a couple of dinger dollars down on Tim Anderson.
Because he's red hot right now to begin with. What's going on here, Abdallah? You came charging
into
the studio.
I think you guys just continue having your conversation.
It's not them.
Hey, listen, when you reemerge in the State Street First Midwest Bank studio, there's a chance there may be a couple of hiccups.
Right. Guys, I think our pets' heads fell off like 20 minutes ago, so I think we're trying to patch things together behind the scenes.
All right, that's good. Listen, that's not good. It's good that you're trying to patch it up.
Mike Ditka told me a long time ago, the best piece of advice I ever got from Coach Ditka was, kid, it's not the adversity in life that you face. It's how you respond to that adversity. That's how people will remember you. That's how you define yourself. So how we respond to this nonsense going on right now is how people are going to actually define us.
Well, I
didn't want any part of that speech.
It's terrific advice. No,
because I'm working.
It's how you react to the adversity that will define you.
Like, everybody forgets the adversity. You know what? They remember how you respond to that adversity. And get this crap off my screen. All I see is Sylvie's neck. I want my Google
machine back. See the double
chin
again. Yeah, it's a terrible angle.
No, it's not.
Cubs and Cardinals again. I don't believe David Ross has spoken, and we'll find out the update from Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant's
hamstring
is some fatigue. I don't know what's going on there. They're protecting his asset. Is he banged up again? It's a bad look all the way around. He's one of the commodities that could net you something. So we'll get you the update as soon as the lineup is out. I'm going to double check that the lineup isn't out yet. Your mean Mercedes today, too, on his Instagram page, has scrubbed all the White Sox pictures. And he has a story on there that says, El Retiro. And it's a picture of the thinking emoji. So it sort of makes you think that he's pondering retirement. Wonder if the White Sox know about this, if he's looking for attention, or maybe it's a little of both. And then, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks won their first world championship in 50 years yesterday, capped by a 50-point performance by Giannis. It was great drama. It was just fun.
It was a fantastic personal individual performance, like one of the best you'll ever see.
It was a great performance between two teams that were, you know, really, really good this year and surprising in a lot of different ways. Giannis bounces back from that injury. The crowds outside were outstanding. So I just had a great night last night watching all of our teams. The Cubs and White Sox both won. They both scored a lot of runs in their final at bat. And then the basketball game went deep into the fourth quarter undecided, and Giannis emerged as the easy MVP with the 50-point
performance. It really was an active television night. As you mentioned, I had three different games going on, and then after those all ended, I went upstairs and I watched Manifest for another three episodes.
We've watched a few episodes of Manifest, too. It's on Netflix. It's the boys told me when I used it as a what to watch for, that it's it used to be on NBC, I believe.
I believe there's three seasons, and it's not the worst show in the world. It's not the best show in the world. It's not bad. I give it, you know, like one thumb up and one or a thumb sideways. But
why are you sticking with it?
I don't like to be a quitter, and
so much good stuff out there. Why continue down the same road?
Most of the stuff I've watched pretty much everything that I'm interested in. But the moral of the story is I've still got a half of season 2 left and then season 3. And it's just one of those things right now where I don't have a whole lot of interest in something else. So, and I don't want to quit it. I want to get through the end of where they're at.
Yeah. Like, to me, what drew me to Manifest was I loved the show Lost. You didn't watch Lost.
I never watched an episode of Lost.
It's a very, still a very polarizing show. Some people have been scarred by it. I enjoyed the journey of watching Lost week in and week out. One of those Last Network dramas.
Wasn't that the show, too, where like there was a giant reveal at the end that
there's always reveals.
It for people?
A lot of people didn't like the endings and
I've never seen
and the way it went long. There's lots. I enjoyed it all. I was great with it. I looked forward to it. I thought it was innovative. And this is also about an airplane. The premise is these people board a flight, I think coming back from Jamaica.
Yes.
And they're flying back to New York. And in the four-hour flight or whatever it is, they're experiencing a four-hour flight. They take off and land, and to them, it feels like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, it turns out
they disappeared for 5.5 years.
For 5.5 years, they've been a missing airline.
Yeah.
And then that's where it picks up.
Well, and there are certain things
I need. We're not giving any spoilers.
Yeah, and I need some finality with certain things, so I can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm trying to watch it to its entirety through its all of the episodes, so that like I don't feel like I missed anything.
The premise I love. I love that premise of, wow, you were on just one flight, which you experienced 4 hours, and you have missed 5.5 years of your own life.
Yeah, there isn't. And I think it is fairly interesting. The other thing, I've mentioned this in the past, and I hate to sound like a television snob because I'm not, but like network television series,
it's not good anymore.
Can't hold a candle to Netflix and Apple TV. And like, I think Ted Lasso's back, right?
Isn't it this weekend, Friday. Right,
you can't find Ted Lasso on network television.
No.
Like all of the Netflix and the Apple TVs and the Amazon Prime shows.
And you can't be as real on network TV because you can't speak like humans speak.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so. Yes, and when I found out it was an NBC show, it lost a little luster for me.
Yeah.
Manifest. All right. So anyway, let's get to some football here. We're counting down. This ends the day the Bears report to camp.
Mm-hmm.
As far as our shows, we're doing one player a day, most important Bears, and then I think the Steelers report tomorrow.
Maybe the Steelers reported today?
I mean,
I don't know.
There's some football reporting going on.
Yeah.
We're getting closer to the Bears. That's next week. I think the other big one is, I believe, the Packers report Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll find out more about Aaron Rodgers. But let's get to your Bears list. We're in the top five.
Yes.
You can get the recap of the previous 10. It's great that I love that those guys highlight it and they talk about it. This is supposed to prompt conversation. And you can get the recap on our Instagram page, at Waddle and Sylvie. If you're not following at Waddle and Sylvie and you are active on Instagram, make sure you follow us. Waddle is also on there with his personal page, at T Waddle. No, it's at TommyBoy87. And I'm there at Mark, MarcA Silverman. So,
all right, here we go. Top five. I move back to the offensive side of the ball. Can I remind you, the last three seasons, do you know where the Chicago Bears ranked in yards per game? I will let you know. It's 21st, 29th, 22nd.
I was trying to think, for goodness sake.
Yeah, so they need to get better, significantly better, on the offensive side of the football. And that means young guys need to blossom. One of those young guys is second-year tight end Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is number five in terms of important Bears for the 2021 season. Remember, as I've told you ad nauseum, that this list for me is about offensive improvement and development for the future, because I don't consider the Bears a legitimate 2021 Super Bowl contender. Cole Kmet had 44 catches for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns as a rookie. Very modest stats. Strangely enough, I think his participation was limited in large part by his coach.
Right. Another one of those where the press conferences would happen after Cole Kmet would get like 10 plays on the field. And then the head coach would say, who is also, by the way, the play caller in the press conference, we need to get more Cole Kmet more out there on the field more. You just called the plays of the game. Yeah. Look in the mirror.
Well, hopefully Cole can be a difference maker in his second season. He needs to be. Remember, he was a second-round pick a year ago, so he needs to play, and he needs to play an enormous role in the passing game because, as I've told you 1,000 times, going back to the year that Matt Nagy was hired, the tight end plays a huge role in this offense. It's the reason why I thought Trey Burton was going to be a home-run free agent signing, and Trey Burton was very good in year one. It went sideways after that. But the tight end position, nonetheless, is still very important in this offense. I don't know that Cole is as athletic as a Travis Kelce or as a Kittle or one of the other tight ends in the league, but I do know that he's a talented young player, and he needs to be one of these guys going forward that elevates this offense overall. He needs to have a 60-catch 700-yard season with 5 or 6 touchdowns.
Amen.
The tight end position is very important, and we know that Jimmy Graham is, for the, you know, a lack of a better description, he's a red zone target only. So Cole Kmet needs to have himself a 60-catch 700-yard touchdown season and 6 touchdowns type of season, because he, like some of the offensive players I've mentioned and maybe a few that may be on the horizon as well on this list, it all comes down to the development of Justin Fields. And if you don't have any talent inside that offensive huddle, or you have limited talent inside that offensive huddle, and the guys you've spent draft picks on inside that offensive huddle aren't helping elevate the play of the young quarterback, then you've got serious problems going forward. So number 5, most important players in the 2021 season for your Chicago Bears, I have Cole Kmet, a guy that has to play a vital role in this offense being better, not just this year, but in years to come with a new quarterback.
And especially with Pace's history of signing and drafting tight ends with Shaheen, Trey Burton came and it looked like Trey Burton was going to be this perfect fit. And after like half a season, it all went south. And now here we are, Cole Kmet, another highly drafted tight end player. He was taking part in Greg Olsen's tight end camp.
I like to see that. Because he can learn from some of the best in the business.
I love that these players, too, are doing their own things. That they're branching out and, like, it's not necessarily, they already have a union, but they're, like, within their, they're carving their craft with their peers.
What they've also done is they're trying to emphasize the importance of the tight end position.
Yes,
remember,
right,
too,
right.
Think about it, like, when it comes to free agency, there are certain slots when you have tight ends that are more explosive than wide receivers, but yet like the franchise tag number is limited, or the free agency, the number for contracts for free agents at the tight end position, they're trying to actually bring the attention.
That's incredible. You know what I mean? Yeah,
so
like,
there's
right.
a financial component to it.
Yes, you're right.
Because the top wide receivers in the league are going to make more money, or they have currently made more money in the past. They've made more money than the tight end.
Also being discussed today, Allen Robinson possibly being traded.
What?
Is this a reality? We will discuss that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Jesse has weighed in on the question that I had about Chris Bryant. Then we'll get to the Allen Robinson story. Jesse says they're protecting a chip, and he's not hurt.
Yeah, of course.
If this was any other year, he doesn't come out of the game.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. So every time Chris Bryant does something athletic, which is quite often because he's very athletic for a 6'5" guy, are you going to panic? And, oh, my God, I got to get Chris to the bench. If that's the point, just sitting.
But that's then, do you then have another disconnect with the player? Is that too bad, so sad?
You're going to trade him.
No, because I'm with you. You're going to trade him anyway. You're not going to sign him, it looks like. So why are you playing this game of sort of this weird roulette game where you're risking him going out? He plays hard.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant plays hard.
Give
he plays
credit.
All
he
over.
Plays hard.
He's diving for balls.
Right.
You want him to. That's what he does. But if you don't want him to get hurt, then don't play him, like you said.
Are you sitting in because you're mad because he's making big plays and you're winning games when you want to lose games? I don't know. I'm confused.
No, they were losing in that game. Remember?
That's true.
So they came back late.
I,
Headache inducing, right?
Are you going to start him tonight and then pull him if he makes another fantastic diving catch?
That's what I was going to look at. I just don't get it.
I mean, your team is not... Your team's weird. It's a weird team.
It is. It's a very odd time
now. They're a weird baseball team.
The lineup is out here, and we have no Chris Bryan. So, you know who's leading off for the Cubs tonight in center field?
Ian Happ.
It is not Ian Happ. Ian Happ is in left field tonight.
Boy, he has had a bad year.
Didn't he hit last night? Yeah, he came through in that moment. Right. Really bad year, though.
Yeah.
But he finally came through. Who do you think is in center?
Center field is Jake Marisnyk.
It's not Jake Marisnyk. That's a good guess, though.
Thank you. Center field is Javi. They've moved him to center field to highlight his ability to do more.
Javi's at his usual shortstop position.
Okay. Rizzo, we've moved Riz to center field to show everybody that the back's okay.
We're going to be here all day. It's Rafael Ortega. Ortega is leading off.
He made a good catch last night.
Good old number 66. He's had a couple of hits lately, too.
This makes it sound like we have nothing against Ortega.
It's Ortega, Contreras, Rizzo, Baez, Happ, Wisdom.
How do you think?
Hayward, Horner, Hendricks.
How do you think Willie's going to explode?
What do you mean?
Well, mentally? What do you mean? No, Willie wants everyone to play hard. Chris is playing hard, and they're pulling from the lineup. Willie's gonna go off on somebody.
Yeah. So again, are they resting him because is it tweaked a little bit? Are they protecting their chip?
If they
are protecting their chip, like Waddle said, don't play him. Don't play him. Just say to him, look, we're going to give you the AD treatment.
Let me ask you a question as well.
You can sit here in street clothes, and you can cheer on your team, and then you're going to a contender.
Aren't you devaluing your own asset as well if you were letting other teams feel that there's a hamstring problem?
That's what I said. Someone tweeted me saying the general managers know the deal. Other general managers know what's done, that the Cubs are just doing. But whatever perception's out there.
He had a hamstring issue before, right?
Yes. That's what you're right. And again, why do you need to see Chris Bryant play? You know who Chris Bryant is.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant's having a good year now. It's not a great year. It wasn't like a month and a half into the season. It looked like, hey, he could be playing at an MVP-type level. That's sort of settled here. He's having a recent Chris Bryant year.
Here's the deal, too. I think the haggling, and I'm no baseball insider, I think the haggling is more likely to be done with these pitchers than it is on Chris Bryant. I don't think that the same haggling that is done, like the owner of the Mets said, and you have said as well, like, look, if you sell now, you may be able to get more at the trade deadline. I think I buy that more with the relief pitchers, with Tapera or Chafin, or most importantly with Kimbrel. I don't know that I'm like buying that wholeheartedly about Chris Bryant. Like, really, where's the mystery? There's no mystery involved.
Negotiations happen. You know this. I'm so shocked by this statement of yours. Most negotiations go down to the deadline. The deadline is there in place to get it done, and it usually isn't solved until deadline.
Well, wait a second. Wasn't there a big July 4th or July 5th Cubs trade in the past?
And they made a trade here early. They traded Jack Peterson.
So,
most of them are done the weekend of the trade deadline.
I've also got a player that has had a history of being nicked up. I get the concept of waiting to the last moment for... I believe that's more applicable to these pitchers than I do believe it's with Chris Bryant.
Maybe they are really close, too. Maybe they're really close to something, and that's why they're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and that's why they pulled them. I don't know. Something to watch, though.
We are also believers, are we not? That this would be a good deal, but this isn't going to be because Chris is going to be gone at the end of the year, and there's no guarantee anyone's going to sign him. This is going to be a blockbuster deal.
Well, people have said that. I'm hopeful. Not maybe blockbuster, but that they're going to get a good player back.
Yeah, I don't dispute that and I agree with your thesis here. It's because he plays all these different positions.
And he appeals to multiple teams.
This isn't a cost-controlled pitcher. And again, you can say what you want about what Quintana did. But Quintana was was dealing, and he had 2 years of control at cost control prices. Like, that's not the situation with Chris. So, like, I think I'm with you. I think you'll get something good, but, like, this isn't going to be a blockbuster deal.
Yeah. Getting to this story, CBS had a story today of, like, 9 guys who could be dealt.
Football guys.
Football guys. We're back to the football trades now. And on the list is Allen Robinson.
He's on my list, too. Not to trade.
Right. So, like,
I don't want to. Listen.
Why are you trading the best guy you have for the young quarterback that you have that is everything of your future? And you're going to subtract targets and good players.
Why? Because you don't have the cash to. Listen, this is what I would do with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is going to make. I'm just going to throw this out there. He's going to make an appearance in my top five. Okay. In terms of importance.
And today was Cole Kmet number five.
Allen Robinson, to me, could be Justin Fields' best friend. I mean, some would argue maybe his left tackle, maybe his right tackle, maybe his center, maybe somebody. Allen Robinson could be BFFs with Justin Fields with regard to on the football field.
And he's young enough to continue to be around for many years.
29 years of age. If I'm Ryan Pace, what I want is Allen Robinson to continue to play at an exceptionally high level. He may take his game to the next level with a more competent passer. And at the end of the 2021 season, we got one of these things going. And my fingers are like crossed, but I don't mean like for good luck. I mean like we're intertwined. Football intertwined right now because the combo of Justin Fields and Allen Robinson has the potential to produce a 1,350-yard, a 1,400-yard, 100-catch, 10 or 12-touchdown season. So what I want is not to deal Allen Robinson. I want Allen Robinson in my offensive huddle that every time that Justin Fields calls a pass play, he looks at A-Rob and feels the warmth and the glow of a difference-making wide receiver in his huddle.
Right.
And I want Allen Robinson to feel loved with a brand-new contract and be in an environment where he can thrive, and guys like Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky aren't the ones chucking the pee at him.
If you're trading him, do you know who you become? What the move that is comparable? And I'm not saying he's as good as this
guy. You're sending the kid from Houston to the Arizona Cardinals.
You're Houston, and you have
DeAndre Hopkins.
You have Hopkins, and you have a star quarterback. And you say, look, we're close. We're close as a team.
Yeah.
But instead of adding, we're going to subtract from our star quarterback.
Yes.
And I know Minnesota and Buffalo made that big deal where Stephon Diggs went to Buffalo, and it worked out well for Minnesota because they both got for Jefferson. But the point is here that I want to bring up, how important was Stephon Diggs to a young quarterback in Josh Allen for his growth in this breakout year this past year?
It was huge. He was huge.
You cannot even think about trading Allen Robinson.
Again, I read you the stat. The last 3 years, this offense has ranked 21st, 29th, and 22nd yards per game. Collectively, their offensive stats in many other categories are lower than that. Now, you need to add. You don't need to subtract the offensive weapons in that huddle. You need to not only does Allen Robinson need to be a focal point in your passing game, Darnell Mooney needs to improve and take that next step. Cole Kmet needs to do the same. Like, the last thing you want to be doing for an offense that is ranked in the bottom 7 collectively the last 3 years is subtract quality pieces.
I know. It's silly. So when I saw Abdallah send that to us this morning, I was surprised. I mean, all right, the ship has sailed. You know, you have this quarterback. If it's still Andy Dalton and you don't have your future, who you're the development is everything. The wide receivers, the tackles. It's why Ifedi made your top 15 list. It's why Cole Kmet made it. 312-332-3776, something that we were discussing in the IDOT bullpen. And remember, IDOT reminds you, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media, lifeordeathillinois.com. I've got two pieces of audio that are can't-miss sound bites for you right now. There is one of a guy that is so likable and so cool. You're going to love it. And then there's another guy who made himself look a little bit petty. We'll play you both sides of this coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, I got some fun audio to discuss.
Got some sound?
I got some sound for you. Randy Merkin's answer earlier to Carmen DeFalco's poll question about most likable players, or who is the most likable guy that's not on your team. This is, so don't pick someone like Patrick Kane. It's got to be like outside Chicago. His answer was Colin Morikawa, who just won his
very
second
appealing
major.
Young man, not only a great player, but also, I think he's a very, he's good for the PGA Tour.
Now he won a lot of ways. He's got two majors, and both majors that he's won were his first appearance in each of those majors.
First time anybody's ever done that.
Yes.
And he's also only the second player in the history of the sport to win the British and the PGA by the age of 24.
So Colin Morikawa was on with our buddy Big Cat on Pardon My Take. And they were talking about him and him traveling after the Open ended. And the trophy. Yeah, take a listen to this. He's even more likable. This is another illustration on if this guy continues to win, he's going to be a star. Take a listen to this on Pardon My Take.
I saw a picture. You had to carry your own trophy through, like, security and everything at the airport?
Yeah.
That seems wrong.
I flew. No, why? Why do you want someone else to carry your trophy?
I thought they send it to you, or you take a private jet. You just got on like a Southwest flight out of England with your claret jug.
Let's clear this up, because everyone, like, whatever, commercial. I don't mind flying commercial. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? I flew commercial from London to Atlanta, and then I took a private flight from Atlanta to Vegas.
But that means that you put in the overhead the claret jug?
Yes, it fit perfectly. Perfectly crazy. On an international flight, locked up, no dings, no damages.
The most famous trophy in probably golf is just sitting in the stowaway on seat like 5D.
Well, I thought about it because I did ask someone at the RNA, and they said, if they ask you what it is, just tell them what it is, and they're going to let you.
Right.
But they didn't even question. They never even questioned it.
Did that surprise you?
No.
Not at all?
No. I mean, I'm not surprised he took a commercial flight from England to the United States and to Atlanta, and then took a private jet from Atlanta to. And I don't think you would put that. I guess what may surprise me a little bit is that they don't send the claret jug to you But that wouldn't make a ton of sense either. It's yours. Take it with you.
Right. Like, you're going to all of a sudden now FedEx it.
Yeah. So, and I wouldn't put it in baggage claim.
Right.
I wouldn't put it under the plane.
No way.
Yeah.
That's going to get lost. You know that will get lost.
Yeah, there's a chance, yes. I would keep it on my person the whole time.
It would get lost. You're standing there and you're like, oh, is it, you know, that unknown feeling when you've got this really big bag and you're at the...
Is it going to come around the corner here?
Is it going to come around, or is it, but it's pretty big, so maybe it's coming out on, belt 7 where they've got the extra large items, like the golf clubs.
The claret jug is not that big, though. So, I mean, like he said, he could fit that comfortably in the overhead.
Yeah. So it didn't surprise me that much either. I thought about, maybe he should have or would have flown private, or don't like golfers like all hitch a ride together?
Like some of them do. Yeah.
Do they all go in and they say, look, we all got to go to this tournament?
You never
next.
Know what's in the overhead, bro. You just don't.
Like, that's incredible.
I have a buddy who is a Secret Service agent for quite some time, and you'd be shocked at what he actually would put in the overhead.
Like what?
Stuff.
What do you mean?
Like, you wouldn't, like, if you reached inadvertently to grab his bag, you would be immediately accosted. So, I'm just saying, maybe things have changed in the last several years, but you would, I'm just saying, in general.
You put weapons above the.
Saying that, you know, like, just there are a lot of things that go in the overhead. That's all.
If you were a Colin Morikawa, would you put it in the overhead or would you take it out? Are you taking it out for everyone for the,
no,
in the public
to see?
No,
I'm keeping it. I'm keeping it hidden.
Why?
Well, I mean, like, because you don't want to be like, hey, look at me. Yeah. I got the Claret jug.
You order a drink. You know how he sounds to be first class.
He seems to be a very humble young man.
Anyone want some drinks? I think you flex.
I don't.
I think you flex and you put it right there.
Like, I don't.
Some people say, maybe I'm going to get some work done. And they put out their computer and they're like, I'm going to work.
No.
And then he opens it up.
What if you hit turbulence?
You just told me it's not that big.
No, it's not.
You put that right on the tray.
If you hit turbulence, that thing may go flying into the back. Like, no, I don't flex.
Maybe you buy a seat for it. You strap it in like it's a child.
We just like to say phrasing once just to cover all of our bases here while we're talking about this subject. I think, Sylvie, you got to, when you're a golfer like that, unless it's the green jacket, unless he's sitting in the green jacket, I would say that you act like you've been there before, unless you're on a private jet for the gram. Like, we've all seen the pictures of people on the private jet sitting next to whatever trophy it is, or wasn't there the picture of Mark Cuban like at the urinal holding it?
Yeah. Listen, you also don't want the drunk guy and see
the trophy,
3F.
Right?
Do you want to get a picture of it?
Yeah, like Claret jug. I get it right. You don't want that guy grabbing your Claret jug. I'm with you. I don't think you make that flex. If you're on a private jet, you sit it next to you and you go, hey, look at this.
Like Giannis today has been driving around with the NBA trophy and his MVP trophy all over Milwaukee in his car, and people have come up to him. He's been taking pictures with people. Did he go to Chick-fil-A this morning? Wasn't that like the first thing he did?
Yeah.
He went through the Chick-fil-A drive-through with both trophies. I think that's a cool flex. Hey, I want 50. What do you get? 50 nugs? 50 orders? What?
50 piece.
A 50-piece?
That's what he got last night. He got a 50-piece.
Yeah, right, and it's been 50 years. Yeah.
I don't want a trophy shame. I mean, they're all trophies. They're all everybody's trophies different from everybody else's, but I feel like the Larry O'Brien trophy is a little more important than the Claret jug. And then if someone wins that, you're allowed to flex with that as opposed to walking around
really?
With the...
Because, like, the Claret jug has a significantly longer history.
Okay.
Like,
just because it's older doesn't mean it's
better.
Well,
I mean, I would think in the world of sports, I'm not going to degrade the Larry O'Brien trophy. I'm just going to say I think you underestimate the power of the Claret jug.
I'm also saying, like, the Larry O'Brien trophy, that's a full year of basketball plus the playoffs to earn that thing. This guy played 4 good days of golf.
Oh,
like, this guy played 4 really good days of golf. He played 4
Open.
Really good days of golf, and he's going to compete again next weekend or the weekend after, whatever the next tournament is. You know what I mean?
This is a season-long accomplishment for Giannis.
Yeah, it means a little more. Yeah, it's a lifelong accomplishment for him. Right. It means a little more.
Here's what I was thinking yesterday. I had a trophy take of all the years of watching the NBA. It was the first time I thought of this. As I was looking at both trophies, the Larry O'Brien trophy and then the MVP trophy, they're basically, the MVP trophy is basically a knockoff of the Larry O'Brien trophy. It's a smaller version with the base with a basketball on top. Couldn't they get more creative with the MVP trophy?
I was not paying attention to that.
It just looks like it's miniature self.
That's been a rough year. Maybe they were saving money.
I know. I think it's always been that way, but I just noticed it. And I'm like, you know what? They could get a little more creative with their MVP trophy.
What would you like it to look like instead?
Well, did they just name the Kobe Bryant trophy for the All-Star Game MVP? Like, maybe they should name that after MJ or someone else in
the past.
It's
named after Bill Russell.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. Mm-hmm. It should be a statue of Bill Russell, like the Heisman Trophy. You know how the Heisman Trophy is? You win for the best player of the year in college football. That's a trophy. If you get the MVP of the finals, Bill Russell is coming to your house in the form of a trophy. Maybe him, it's blocking a shot. Instead, it's just the smaller version of the MVP.
Not bothered by it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it did used to look different.
Did it used to look different?
Yeah, you don't remember when Jordan would hold it up in the finals? It was like a piece of wood with a basketball, like a gold basketball on top of the piece of wood that had like a placard on the front that would say NBA Finals MVP. So they made it more like a trophy that is like one piece. You see what I'm saying? Like the Larry O'Brien trophy is one piece,
right?
Like that's what the MVP trophy is now, where it used to be like the one that Jordan holds up looks like there's a metal metal basketball on top of a thing of wood.
Right.
No, seriously.
Now I know.
Yeah.
Now I remember. It had a little base.
Yeah. Right? It had like a base that goes out, and then there's a piece of wood. Yeah.
And Giannis has, this is his first, maybe of many. Michael has 6. LeBron has 4.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Nothing. I just wanted to.
Going over the trophy standings.
Yeah, I was just looking at the picture in the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award. I was looking at a picture of it, and on its list, it says it was established in 1969. Michael Jordan has the most wins. The most recent prior to Giannis was LeBron. He has 4.
I gotta play you the other piece of audio, but then we started talking trophies and Morikawa. I want to play the Deion Sanders audio that's been going around all day. If you missed it. We will play it for you here before we leave. It is worth your time. But right now, I need a contestant for my wife, a radio partner, 312-332-3776. Waddle, you got the clues today, right? I've wanted to see him in his reaction. Today, I've got three statements.
You caught me mid-yawn, my bad.
Three statements. Who made the statement? Was it Waddle or was it my wife? Caller 25, you get to play my wife, a radio partner, next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. It's now time for My Wife or My Radio Partner.
My wife. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My Wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or My Radio Partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My Wife or My Radio Partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That is right. My Wife or Radio Partner is brought to you by our great friends at Swift and Sons. Swift and Sons American Steakhouse is in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. This is a Boca restaurant, which means it's award-winning. Means Rob Katz and Kevin Baim have put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. Means that their executive chef, Chris Pandel, who is awesome, is going to cook you up a fantastic meal. And they're going to give you Chicago's Steakhouse with a modern twist. It's located in the Fulton Market District. That's bustling these days, especially in the summer. They've got a patio, and they've got also some sidewalk street dining as well, and a glorious dining room on the inside.
Sat on that patio and had dinner a while back.
Me too. And check out Swift & Sons Tavern across the street from Wrigley Field. Check that out today. The winner, if there is a winner, will get a gift card to Swift & Sons. By the way, we had some technical difficulties with Twitch. I do believe if you have found us in another way, like ESPN Chicago app, or you're listening in the good old-fashioned radio, 100.3 HD2 or AM 1000, however you may be listening now, we are back on Twitch. So just in case you wanted to hop back and watch us in the First Midwest Bank studio.
We're twitching again.
It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. All right, our contestant is Colin in Evanston. Hi, Colin.
Hey, guys. Happy Wednesday.
Same to you. How's your day going so far? It's been weird for Waddle and me. We have both experienced a weird Wednesday.
Mine hasn't been weird, but not a bad day. Busy picking up the kids from daycare.
All right. Are they in the car right now?
No, I'm waiting in the parking lot.
All right. Well, that's good. Hopefully you can take them out to dinner. All you have to do is get 3 clues right. I'll give you the clues today. Who made the statement? Was it Waddle or was it my wife, Allie? If my wife made the statement, this is what you're going to hear.
This old man, he played one. He played knick-knack on
my drum. Because I'm old.
By the way, you're going to hit 2 out of 3. You don't have to hit all 3.
Oh, did I say 3 out of 3?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you for being there.
You're
for
welcome.
Me. 2 out of 3, yes. We are not raising the stakes.
No.
And if my radio partner made the statement, this is what you're going to hear.
Hot dog, I'm digging it down. It's a brand new day. What's
by the way, it's National Hot Dog Day today.
We got to talk about that a little bit later.
Hot dog.
Have a hankering for a wiener or two.
You've had it at the Sox game, unlike any other fan at a Sox game. What'd you put on that hot dog that day?
Onions and mustard.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
It was smothered in underwear.
Onions and mustard.
Yeah. All right, here you go. You're all set, Colin?
ready to rock.
All right, statement number one. Ha, 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 F you, Frank. Ha, 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 F you, Frank.
I'm going to go Waddle on this one.
I don't talk like that.
It was my wife after Phoenix lost last night because she's Team Silverman. That's something we have. And she experienced Frank Kaminsky not so nice to
Frank
me.
Frank actually had a decent game.
He did. Yeah. It looked like the Kohl Center back several years ago.
Merck was awful chesty about the game that Frank had.
I don't know what it was. You say it's me. It could have been me.
No, no,
I could have
affected that. I'm just asking.
I even dropped Ben Brust's name in my meeting, and I was expecting a warmer and fuzzier Frank Kaminsky. My wife even experienced it, so she was happy that the Suns lost, but and she was at that time upstairs watching the end of the game. I was in the basement. She texted me that. We're texting in the same house.
Listen, the first impression is usually a lasting impression.
It's true.
Yeah,
you are right. All right, Colin, you need these next two.
Come
now
on, Colin.
All right, statement number two. You see that huge Louis Vuitton case? You see that huge Louis Vuitton case?
I'm going to go wife on this one.
Good job.
It's pretty easy.
Was she saying that you see that? I want that.
Did you see what? Do you know what she was talking about?
No, I do not.
Same set of circumstances when she texted me the first time. They opened up the trophies, and it was in a huge Louis Vuitton case.
Really?
I don't know if anyone else noticed.
They started that last year in the bubble.
Did they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is Louis Vuitton a big sponsor now of the trophy?
Yeah, they're the presenting sponsor of the trophy.
Yeah. So my wife noticed it. And
she doesn't want the trophy. She wants the Louis Vuitton luggage.
That's her thing. Yeah. Along with shoes, too. You know, bags and shoes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, yeah. All right, this is it for the stakes at Swift & Sons. Statement number three. Did you say anything stupid last week? Did you say anything stupid last week?
Ooh, this is tough. I'm going to go Waddle. I don't feel comfortable about it, though.
Hot dog. Enjoy Swift inside.
Steak dinner.
Do you remember how you said it?
No clue.
You were looking for clues for my wife, a radio partner.
Oh, that's right. And I said, did you say anything stupid last week?
And yes. Waddle goes through the text chain. He starts scrolling.
Anything that I can use, actually. Scrub it a little. Scrub it.
That's the way the game goes.
Well done, Colin.
Yeah, well done. Enjoy Swift & Sons. Let us know how it is, all right?
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Great show.
Thank you. There's Colin in Evanston. We'll get all of his information every Wednesday at about 4:45. Swift & Sons brings you My Wife or Radio Partner. Don't forget, we've got the Fantasy Football Convention and Championship. It is the 16th annual Fantasy Football Championship, and it's presented by our great friends at Miller Lite. This year, it's going to be 115 Bourbon Street. It's exactly 1 month from today.
So many great things and interesting things have happened for us at that location.
Yes. Yeah, that's where Jay Cutler found out that Lovey had been fired.
Correct. That wasn't a great thing, but I just mean kind of a monumental thing.
I think we had a big Brandon Marshall show there at one point. I
believe we did as well.
So it's Saturday, August 21st, and you better hurry because tickets are going quickly. $20 a ticket. They are on sale online. ESPN Chicago, FFC.com. You waited for the golf outing, and you waited too long, and it's sold out. We want you to buy your tickets for the Fantasy Football Convention, ESPN Chicago, FFC.com. We'll all be there. You're going to get a gambling segment, fantasy football segment, lots of other fun. We'll watch Bears and Bills that day, and then you'll be placed in a draft to draft your team in our league. It's also brought to you by PropSwap, Hooters, Bentonhausen Automotive, and 3Chi. Michael Wilbon, on a scale of all the things he's seen in the NBA Finals, where did Giannis's performance rank? He'll give us that answer coming up in 2 short minutes.